Okay. We may still be waiting for a couple, but I won't worry about that. So, reasons to use images of Jesus. Let's see what we've got.
I'm not going to comment on these, just read them out. To focus on Jesus, show what he was doing, e.g. doing a miracle. To help non-English speakers visualise an event in Jesus' life. Help children to identify, understand that Jesus is real. See that he is real. Helps them visualise the story by using images. You need images of Jesus. It's helpful to do a nativity, etc., because the kids wouldn't understand why not. Help them see that Jesus was a man. Help them to see events of a particular story, what people did, where they went to, etc. Okay, reasons not to. They may think that's what Jesus looks like. Jesus becomes a cartoon character. They don't see him as God, just as a man. Can't really capture all of God's character. You always lose something. Muslim children might get confused. We don't know what he looks like. Children may think of picture as being God, Jesus. It's just an illustration. We cannot know exactly what Jesus looks like. Bible says not to make images of God. They may think he looks like that in reality. They'll associate Jesus with a different man, fiction, i.e. Father Christmas, or fact, i.e. the Archbishop of Canterbury. I can see what you mean, the current Archbishop of Canterbury has the kind of, sort of, you know, the beard and the... I think the new guy perhaps less likely to be confused. Children may get confused, as may identify Jesus as an old-fashioned white person, or an African, giving Jesus a nationality. Okay. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Really wide mix of things there.
Really helpful ones. We're going to want to talk about some of those.
Right, reasons two. To show what it's like for a first century Jew in that region. He's a perfect example that shows that he's real. Help them to imagine and picture the scene in their minds. Helps them understand complex themes in a simple way. To show he was a man who lived, to show his actions, show that Jesus is a real person, get the story across to children who are visual learners, focus on Jesus, i.e. the person you are teaching about, so that children remember the story, to make Jesus real in human form, make Bible stories seem more real as children may engage better with visuals than with talk, text. Most children are visual learners, they need images, and it helps them to see pictures. It helps children to realise that Jesus came to earth in human form. Okay, and reasons not to, don't want to confuse the child or give them an inaccurate image. Misleading, gives a fixed image, doesn't leave room for the child to have their own image. Easy to misrepresent as too stern or too weak or too something, I can't quite read, sorry. Pictures are normally of a white man, well groomed, in robes, not like anyone children know today. Accuracy is in question. Can be a problem with turning images into idols. Misunderstanding for kids from Muslim backgrounds, it's forbidden to draw God or his prophet, it's offensive. Children want to know more about what he looks like rather than the whole of who he is and was and what he's done. There's a potential to misrepresent Jesus. Brilliant. I think I can go home now. You've pretty much covered absolutely everything.
Wonderful. So that's raised quite a lot of the issues, both pro and con. I wonder if I can just ask, how many of you had already thought about whether or not to use images of Jesus before you signed up for this session? How many of you, is this a subject you've already given some thought to? Okay, a few of you, great. How many of you have come because actually you've never thought about this and realised, actually it might be quite a good thing to think about? Nobody at all, okay. How many of you come because this is where you got plonked by the person who did the booking? Okay, a real mix. Right, great. obviously what we really need to do is see what the Bible has to say.
So, and you aren't going to need Bibles at this point, by the way. Oh no, we've got something else to do first. But yeah, get your Bibles out now while you think about it. And if anybody doesn't have a Bible with them, there are some spares over here. If anyone needs one. Yes. We look that up.
Just turn to the person next to you and tell them of if there's an image of Jesus that's ever stuck in your mind, just tell them what it was. It might be something you saw as a child, might be something you saw last week. But if a particular picture of Jesus has ever stuck in your mind, just quickly tell the person next to you what that was. There. Now I'm going to ask just a couple of you to tell me what your partner told you. Okay? So if they told you a particularly vivid memory that they've got, you then tell me what that was. So just a couple of you. Go on, yep.
Sorry, Pat said that she has an image of a Caribbean.
Yeah, thank you.
And one more?
Which that's a conversation.
Somebody must be able to remember what they've told.
Yes, no, like DVD or I am Jesus. The Jesus. But we were discussing how like DVDs make it more real sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yes, because you're actually seeing someone who is alive and walking around and so on and so forth. Yes, thank you. that's one of the issues, isn't it, with images. They do stick in your mind. Whereas, I mean, I'm sure you've all had the situation where you've sat through a sermon, and if someone said to you afterwards, what was that about, you'd struggle to tell them. I'm sure, I hope you've all sat through sermons where you'd be able to say exactly what it was about. But often, if you're just listening, it doesn't stick in your mind as much. Well, something you see often does. And that might be a really helpful image, or it might be an unhelpful one, but it often does stay there, which is one of the reasons that this is an important question. So what we're going to do is we're going to look and see what the Bible has to say about it. There isn't anything specific in the Bible about using images of Jesus. Okay? Nowhere does it specifically talk about whether or not you can use pictures of Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to look for some principles that we can apply. So we'll look at some passages that have some helpful things to say, but we'll then apply those to this specific question of whether or not we can use images of Jesus, particularly when we're teaching children. So I've got six passages here. And what I'm going to do is, just very roughly, if you four here look at passage A, that doesn't mean you'll have to do it as a four, the group of you at the back there, B, and then this row C, that row D, that row E, that row F. Oh, they're not labels, but you know what I mean, they're the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. Have a look at your passage and just see, what is the passage saying? And is there a principle there that perhaps you can apply to whether or not to use an image of Jesus? So have a look at your passage, have a quick chat about it to the two or three people around you. If you've finished yours and it sounds like everybody else is going, then just have a look at another one as well. You might find it most helpful just to read the passage out aloud. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to stop you there. Now, remember, as I said, none of these are passages specifically about using pictures of Jesus, but there will be principles in here that we can apply. So, in other words, what is the Bible saying more generally about making images? Let's start with the very first one, Exodus 3:1-6. So for the sake of those of you who didn't look at it, this is the burning bush. So this is God speaking to Moses through a bush that is burning but not burning up. So any of the people who looked at that, what do you think this is just telling us about images? Any ideas? Thank you. Yeah, that's right. It's interesting, isn't it? That's God using a visual aid. Mm-hmm. He's taking a bush. He's got it burning, but not burning. So it's showing, I guess, something about God and who he is. It clearly isn't showing everything about God, but this is God using an image and then speaking through that image. So in one sense or other, it's okay to use an image of God. Depends what you mean by an image, I guess. But that's God using an image. Okay, the second passage here is the Ten Commandments, and it's specifically the first couple of commandments. So this group at the back, does we have anything in here that we've got applied? In fact, it's quite specific there, isn't it? It's not just don't make it, it's don't make it and then bow down to it. So don't make an idol, in other words. Don't make an image, a picture, a statue that you then treat as if it's God.
But almost that assumption is that you will treat it like that. It's not that you'll make it and treat it neutrally, but you will bow down and worship it if you have it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Certainly that does seem to be the assumption, as you say. And of course, if you're thinking back to the time of Moses when the Ten Commandments were given, pretty well all of the surrounding countries, all the surrounding cultures, did bow down to idols. That's one of the reasons why again and again in the Old Testament you see God telling his people not to intermarry. And it's not a racist thing, it's because he knows that the people that they marry from other countries and cultures are idol worshippers. They worship statues. And he's saying, you know, don't do that. Don't get involved in that in any way. So I think you're right. There is a sort of context there, an expectation that that's what they will do if they make an image. Thank you. The third one, which I think was this group at the front, this is from Leviticus. I might just read this one out to you. It's very short. Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. So what did you think from that one?
This is very different to pictures. This is idols to worship made out of stone or statues or solid stuff material. But I mean, historically, people have used images from the Bible stories, painted them in cathedrals, so yeah. People could learn the Bible because they didn't have the book.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a problem at all.
Okay, so what you're saying is that this verse is specifically talking about idols rather than about...
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a good point. I don't know if you know this, but one of the reasons that so many churches have stained glass windows is because they were built at a time when most people were illiterate, so they couldn't read the Bible for themselves, and so the windows were there to teach them, to help them to, you know, to get to learn the Bible stories, to teach them about God and so on. So that's actually why they're there, they're visual aids. I mean, now they tend to sort of get almost worshipped in their own right as, oh, you know, these beautiful things, but actually they're visual aids. So, yeah, thank you for that one. Next one down, Habakkuk. It's a great name, that, isn't it? Okay, this was this next row down. Again, I'm just going to read this to you. Of what value is an idol since a man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. So how do you think this applies? Anybody on that second row?
Maybe that the image that we have of Jesus becomes
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That is striking, isn't it? That images can teach lies. Well, that's worth bearing in mind. And again, it'll depend on the image, it'll depend how we use it, but that's definitely a warning that's worth keeping in mind. Images can teach lies. Okay, into the New Testament and Acts 17. This is part of Paul's sermons. And he's talking to a bunch of non-Christians here, so people from a different background and culture. So third row back, what did you come up with from this one? Anyone?
Sort of along the lines of the we as the created determining what the creator looks like as cast in stone or metal. It's just a complete role reversal.
Thank you, that's a nice way of putting it. It's a role reversal. Let me just read that to you. Since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. So, the divine being, God, in other words, isn't like an image. And you're quite right, it's almost us thinking we can make him, whereas, of course, actually, he's the creator. He has made us. And lastly, a bit of Romans at the end there. People on the back row, what did you come up with from what this tells us about using images?
They can distort truth.
Yes, thank you. Anything else?
Again, it's just the same as worshipping the idol rather than worshipping God themselves. So there is a exposure to kind of that could happen.
That's right, yeah. And he talks very specifically, doesn't he, about exchanging the truth of God for a wrong truth. You're actually exchanging God's glory for an image, an idol, something that made up, which when you phrase it like that seems so silly, doesn't it? But there's an awful lot in the Bible about the risks of worshipping idols. So it obviously is something that we are naturally tended towards doing if we're not careful. Great, so let's have a look at some images, shall we? And just see, bearing those things in mind, bearing in mind that we have to be careful with images, bearing in mind that we mustn't make idols, bearing in mind that God used an image himself to represent himself, I'm going to show you some. So now what I've got here is a series of pictures from a variety of children's storybooks. And what I'd like you to have a think about is, just tell me what strikes you about them, and in particular, if there's anything you think is particularly helpful or unhelpful about them, anything particularly good or bad. I hope you can mostly see them. I got the PowerPoint as high as the machine would let me.
Only one of them has got a Viking Jesus.
This one up here, yes. Yes, I'm not quite sure what's going on here with his hairstyle. It almost looks like a sort of Lego helmet sort of head, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anything you think might be helpful? Anything that's not helpful?
They're all basically like cartoon drawings. So they kind of link them directly to the material man.
Yeah, they are pretty much, I suppose, the only one.
The second one.
Maybe that one.
Yeah.
It's sort of trying to be a little bit more realistic. And I think I'm right in saying that's probably from the oldest book of the ones that I took the pictures from, actually. Yeah.
One on the bottom there, it looks like he's carrying a whip.
He is carrying a whip.
So, yeah,
In the story of Jesus going into the temple and clearing out the people who were basically just robbing from the poor, it does say that he took a whip and he, threw them out with this whip. So yeah, that is Jesus holding a whip. Do we think that's a helpful picture, an unhelpful picture? Why? Unhelpful. Tell me why.
Because Christ did it, doesn't mean it can be visually represented. You know, because that is a cartoon character, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't know whether the whip was swiping the actual money from the tables, or whether it was whipping the people, it was changing the money.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, if the Bible doesn't go into detail, we've no right to put it in something concrete, like a picture.
Okay, thank you. That does highlight one of the problems for people who do illustrations. When you draw a picture, you have to add detail. It's the same, a lot of us, I'm sure, tell Bible stories. And it's the same tension when you're telling a Bible story. Do you add things in order to make it easier to tell a story? Do you add things to a picture in order to make it a complete picture? And if so, how do you decide what you're going to add? Now, I think you made a very important point there, which is that we're not told exactly what he did with the whip. We're not told, did he use the whip to sort of clear the tables, or did he whip the people? And therefore, we have to be careful with a picture. You know, you don't want to show a picture of Jesus whipping people if actually the Bible doesn't say that's what he did. On the other hand, a picture of Jesus with a whip, well, that is saying that something that he actually did do. And it's quite a shocking picture, isn't it? Do you have any other views on that particular picture? Yeah.
I think it's quite helpful, actually. I think a lot of children's Bible on the other side are showing Jesus all loving and happy and, well, a bit like that from the gear ones. And actually, we do need to help our children to understand that there is this judging side to God, and he and Jesus were rightfully angry in that place. And I think we need to have both sides, and I think visually that's helpful. Yeah.
Thank you. One or two of you were in my session this morning on teaching Jesus from scratch. And one of the things I was saying there is how important it is to teach a rounded image of who Jesus is. And it is very easy, isn't it? Particularly for those of us who work with children. So we're selecting certain stories. It is very easy only to teach certain aspects of his character. So this morning I was talking about the fact that, yeah, we do want to talk about Jesus being rightly angry in certain situations. We do want to talk about Jesus being terrifying in certain situations. He calmed the storm. His disciples were terrified. They'd been terrified of the storm. Now they're terrified of him. So it is important that we teach that rounded character. And one of the ways that it's possible to do that is by using pictures. Mm. Now, whether or not that's the right thing, in your opinion, to do, that's a separate quick question. But what this is definitely helpfully doing is it's rounding that image of who Jesus is. I should say at this point, by the way, I'm not going to get to the end of this session saying this is what you should do. What I want us to do is let's look at the principles, let's think it through, and then each of us needs to make our own decisions based on what we understand from what the Bible says, and also based on our own particular situations. I'll come back to that, but some things might be appropriate in one group and not appropriate in another group.
You see, we don't have the right to supplement scripture, do we?
No, you're absolutely right. But I think that's partly about how you draw the picture. So I thought the point you made about we don't know what he did with the whip is absolutely right. And that's where you have to be careful not to supplement scripture. In this particular picture, he's holding it.
Yeah.
But we're not, and you know, that is accurate. And it's not, so it's not, you know, the whip. Yeah, that's right. And it is a real problem. I've written a whole series of Bible reading notes for 7 to 11 year olds called XTV. And fortunately for me, my illustrator who did the pictures is even stronger on biblical accuracy than I am. And occasionally would get back to me and correct me if I'd got something wrong. And that was brilliant because most artists are not. And when you look at a children's Bible, and particularly if you look at any visual aids you're going to use for your group, don't assume that the artist has got it right. Because you're quite right, accuracy matters, and often they get it wrong. Think about how many infant Bibles there are that show Daniel in the den of lions, and Daniel looks like a teenager. Daniel was in his 80s at the very least when he was in the den of lions. Okay, but most of the artists don't know that, and so they draw this, you know, young man, you know, with dark hair and so on. Accuracy does matter, but often an illustrator, unless they happen to be a really Bible-centered person, they might not know that. So that's one of the reasons we definitely want to be careful.
But when you've got fragments of the Bible, when you get serious artists like Leonardo da Vinci, mm-hmm, illustrating Jesus, he does have that square chin and those very sort of masculine features that are associated with these movie stars, doesn't he, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that the correct thing to put a Bible saying now?
Well, funny enough, I've got the Last Supper coming up as one of my pictures.
Go on. I like the bottom left one, and I would use it with young children. I mean, in one way, he doesn't look very angry, but I think he looks angry enough for a very small child. He looks horrified. Mm-hmm. And as we're doing this, I'm actually thinking there's probably an age where I would stop.
Yeah.
Just stop using images.
Right, that's interesting.
Because if you showed that to a 10-year-old, they would know he wasn't angry.
Yeah.
But then the sort of anger you show to a 3-year-old, you can just raise your voice and, you know, reduce them to tears.
Yes, yes.
So
yes,
I think, because the last thing we want is for them, I mean, I remember staying in my aunt's cottage and she had one of those sort of woodcuts from the 1870s where, you know, God was terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to terrify little children.
Yeah. That's interesting about you think that there's an age at which you'd stop using
them. That's just occurred to me now, that when we are able to use our imaginations and we're not needing visuals, then probably that's a good time to stop using
them. Yeah, thank you. There are a few people in here I know, although this was plugged as a sort of under 11 session, I know there are a few people here who work with over 11s. Can you just wave a hand at me if you work with... Oh, we're down to one, okay.
Sometimes.
So I'd be interested to know your view on that as to whether or not you would stop using pictures. But I'll come back to you on that because we're going to look at some Bibles and I've got a couple that are more aimed at that age group. So I'll aim those at you. Cartoons can be quite divisive. People have a real mix of views about cartoons. Some people would say any kind of cartoon is in a sense sort of, you know, demeaning or whatever. Let me just show you one more because I want to know what you think about this. This is inside a children's Bible, and it's called A Day in the Life of Jesus. And it's basically kind of showing a whole series of things that Jesus is doing. What do you think about that?
It's very busy, visually.
Yeah.
There's too much in it for the child to take in.
Yes,
even the adults in
the book. Okay. I think it might depend on the child. I can think of some junior children who would, you know, happily lap up that much digital. So I think you'd be right for some children. And that's the other issue here. You know your group. You know your children. You know whether something's going to be at the right level for them.
I can see he has time to help someone. He has time to pat the dog. You know, so he's making time for things that seem insignificant but really important.
Okay. So are you saying that's a helpful thing to see? Okay.
Did he ever pat a dog?
Well,
in that culture, probably not.
did he ever pat a dog? Exactly.
It's a bit trivial. It's kind of quite humorous, and I think that could be confusing.
Mm, mm. And one of the things we do need to remember is that pictures stay in the mind. So I think you're right that in that culture, we're not talking pet dogs.
No.
We're not talking something like this. A child who's very into pets, that might be the picture that sticks in their mind the most. Is that helpful? Or is it not helpful? There's an example I use from the Old Testament where there's the story of Jacob when he's pretended to be Esau, done all the sort of hairy arm things and so on, and then had to run away. And he has the dream of what's often called Jacob's ladder, this kind of stairway. Anyhow, just before he has his dream, he's walking wherever he's going to go to have his dream. And it's a really wild and scary area. And he can hear the wolves howling. And as he lies down to sort of go to sleep, he's really scared because of all these wolves. And the one picture on this page is a picture of a wolf baying in the night. Mm-hmm. Now, you can search Genesis for as long as you want. You will not find any wolves in Genesis. But because that is the really key picture, that's what stays in the child's mind. That story is about wolves. That's why we have to be so careful about images, not just images of Jesus, but images generally. So, here we are. Now, it's a very dull picture because these days it's a very dull painting. Da Vinci, Last Supper. So my question is this, does being great art rather than a cartoon make a difference to whether or not it's okay to use an image?
No, in principle, no.
Because I'm looking at that, I'm seeing European white, whereas he wasn't European white. But I understand what it is, because I grew up with it. The child wouldn't.
Sure. But there will be people, and there may well be people in this room, who would find the cartoon images offensive, and this one helpful. Images divide people.
Mm.
Another good reason to know your group. And also I would suggest your church. Mm. I've I did some research a few years ago about biblical storytelling, and I interviewed lots of children's workers. And the one person I interviewed who was the most thought through I'd ever met on this issue of using images, her husband comes from a very strongly Roman Catholic background, and is now the pastor of a church where they have a lot of people who, again, grew up with a Roman Catholic background and have now, you know, come to faith and they're in their church. And she has a specific policy that they never, ever use pictures of Jesus in their children's groups. And it is purely because it would be so, so easy for people from a Catholic background to start treating them as icons and treat them as a special picture, and it has to be put in a special place and so on. And so they've made a conscious decision not to do it. And this is someone who does think that to use pictures of Jesus is helpful for children who are concrete thinkers. But they've made the decision not to do it because they can see in the wider church it would potentially be an unhelpful thing. Yeah, I think that's a really, really wise choice on their part, and a really well thought through one. She's actually the one person who's been able to give me a completely well thought through reason for what their policy is and why they do it.
You mean they were never using DVDs or anything like that?
Actually, I never asked her about DVDs. That's a good point, because you couldn't turn that into an icon. I honestly don't know, because it didn't come up. We were talking specifically about pictures, because we were really talking about storytelling.
Yeah.
And so it came up in that context. I honestly don't know on the DVD front. There was somebody made the comment earlier, seeing a DVD sometimes can almost make it more clear in your head that this is obviously exactly how he looked.
Yeah.
Though I remember years ago, I was on a schools workers conference, and someone who'd recently seen, I think it was the whole of Matthew's Gospel that they filmed and turned into a film, had been blown away by seeing Jesus laugh. And she said it had never, ever occurred to her before that Jesus laughed. Now that's interesting, isn't it? You could say that's shoving something in that isn't actually in the passage. On the other hand, I'm sure Jesus smiled and you know, so, you know, images, they're powerful. I think that's the main thing. They're powerful, so we need to think it through. Let me show you one more. This is Jesus walking on the water. What do you think of that? And in particular, does it perhaps address some of the issues about Jesus' identity?
It doesn't show his face. The face is a very powerful thing.
As I said, I work for the Good Book Company, and we do use pictures of Jesus in our products when we think they're helpful and valuable for children. One of the publishing companies that doesn't is Christian Focus, who are based in Scotland, and their policy is they will never show Jesus' face, but they will sometimes show the back of his head. This isn't one of their books. The back of his head, or maybe sort of, you know, his hand or whatever, but they'll never show his face. Because they think that it's showing the face that is actually unhelpful. And so they kind of sort of have a half and half. This, therefore, you don't really see what he looks like, and yet you're still seeing this is a real person, it's a concrete image, and so on and so forth. So.
It makes him a bit superhuman, right? A bit like some of the comments that was saying, he makes an image that's very human.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I've got some Bibles here. Let's just quickly pass them around. And what I'd like you to do is try and find a picture that you look at. There should be enough of one between two. You can just sort of start passing some around. Just have a look through and see if you can find a picture that you think is either particularly helpful or particularly unhelpful. Yes, of course. Yes, that's why. Thanks for coming. In the church as well. Waltergrave. Yeah, that's Tim in Waltergrave, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And I think you might have something going on as well.
Probably. All right, I'm going to stop you there. I hope, if nothing else, this has helped you just to start thinking this through, and maybe next time you do reach for a picture book or whatever, just have a bit of a think about what you've reached for. One of the things that is really interesting, if you look through this whole range of books, is the huge variety of styles and images and so on. I did a session on this a few years ago where somebody very helpfully said, if you're going to use pictures of Jesus, don't always take them from the same source. You know, if you select them from lots of different places, you are automatically helping them to see, this isn't how Jesus looked, this is how this particular artist has decided to try and draw Jesus. If you can get pictures of Jesus that are more ethnically accurate, then that's helpful as well, rather than, you know, as you say, the classic white man with, you know, the long brown beard or whatever. But I think using a range can be helpful. I just wanted to finish with a bit of encouragement, because I don't know what you're going to go away and do. Some of you will decide it's never appropriate to use pictures. Some of you will think it's always appropriate, and some of you might be somewhere in the middle. But I just wanted to finish by something that Jesus himself says to Thomas. This is when Jesus has come back to life after the Easter account. He appears to all the disciples, but Thomas isn't there. He says, I'm not going to believe it. Unless I see for myself, unless I touch for myself, I'm not going to believe it. A week later, Thomas is there. Again, Jesus appears. Thomas has the chance to touch him, and so on. Thomas falls on his knees and he says, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus says this to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And I think that's just an encouragement that whatever we decide on this question, and even allowing for the fact that even if we use them, these are just pictures, we don't have to see Jesus in order to know him and believe in him and follow him. And I think that's fantastic. And of course, one day in the new creation, we will see him. We will see him face to face. We will see that all of these images are just tiny, pale little things compared to who he really, really is. But it's a great joy, isn't it, that we can know the Lord Jesus without having to see him. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, thank you so much for all the children and young people represented in this room. Thank you for the privilege you have given us in teaching them. Lord, please help each one of us to make wise decisions on this issue, on whether or not to use images of Jesus as we teach. And Lord, whatever we decide, please help us then to teach your word well and faithfully. And we thank you, Father, that one day we can look forward to being in the new creation with you, and we will see Jesus face to face. And Father, at the end of a very long day, we want to ask that as we come back for our closing session, that you again would thrill us with who the Lord Jesus is, and fill us with a passion to share him with the children and young people in our care. Thank you, Father. Amen.